Good morning, Ritim Chayodom. Klal Mem, Simon Dalet, and the Chayodom had introduced this idea that there's many steps in the process of Netila. There's Netila of the two hands. There's something called Shifshuf, which means you're rubbing the hands together while they're still wet. Then you raise your hands up parallel to the person's head. And then you make the bracha b'al nesiyas yadayim, and then you dry your hands. And that's called erva l'asiyasa. So we spoke about the last point, which is that the nigub is called erva l'asiyasa because it's necessary for a person to dry their hands. What about if a person washes with a revius? So we understand that if the hands are tamei, because the water becomes tamei, the water becomes tamei because he uses less than revius. So you must remove that. Water, which is tomei, but in a case where you use a revius, which according to the vast majority of opinions, the water does not become tomei, we could argue that nigub is not necessary. So he said that nigub is still necessary because of the union of that the bread should not become mias to us. But now, in regards to the bracha, we're left with the question: is it called over lasioso? So we're apparently relying on the opinion that. It's called Erva L'Asiyoso. There's no need for Erva L'Asiyoso by Netil Sidayim. It's okay to make the bracha afterwards. Now, to understand the next step of the conversation, we need to understand the following. So we're saying that the water becomes Tameh, and then we mentioned if you touch the water, your hands become Tameh. So is this a problem during the meal? I washed my hands, I dried my hands, I set a motzi, and then somebody who didn't wash his hands, and his hands are wet, comes and touches my hands. What about that? What about before I'm washing? So Bisman, they're eating truma. All of that would have been problematic. But we're not eating truma nowadays. We're only doing with something because it's called a srach truma. Because we're only doing something which is srach truma, Chazal did not put a constant din of tuma on the hands and tuma on the water. It's only while you're in the process of cleansing your hands, of being matar your hands, that we have to be worried about this issue of that it's the water will become tummy, etc. So they gave us a very limited window where we have these problems of tumah and tahara. So while I'm in the process of washing, I have to be careful not to touch somebody else's hands, etc. Once I finished washing, I started the meal. If somebody else touches me whose hands I have not washed and he has water in his hands, so for tumah purposes, that the water would have been tummy. And I would have had to rewash. For cooling purposes, it's not an issue. So at what point does that process finish? So when you wash with less than revius, so we understand the process finishes after you dry your hands. Because until you dry your hands, you haven't finished the process of cleansing your hands. There's water which is tummy there. Let's say you wash with the revius, which is what we do nowadays. So arguably, you finish the process even before you dry your hands. So this whole issue of touching some other water, etc., theoretically should only be problematic while you're in the washing process, but you haven't finished the washing process. So let's say you only wash part of your hands. So that's going to be problematic. But once you finish the process of washing part of your whole hands, even if you don't dry your hands, it should be completed. So this is a machlokes. Do we take this all the way into the drying of the hands, even when you wash with the revius? But that's clear that if you wash with a revius and you wash every part of your hands, if you wash with a revius and you don't wash every part of your hands, those part of the hands which have not been washed yet would be problematic. So what's the shifshu for? What are we trying to do? So there's two explanations which are given. One is that together with the purpose of tum and tahar, we also said the purpose of washing is to clean your, make sure your hands are clean. So the shifshuf is simply for the cleansing process. You've washed each hand, you've washed them properly, you've washed them with a revius. So there's no problem with touching one water from one hand to the other. The water is not tumah. So we're not worried about any type of transferring of tumah, etc. So let's do this for the purpose of cleansing your hands and getting rid of any lichlu which might be there as well. And that's how the Mishnah Berurah understands the purpose of shifshuf. But it comes out you only should do shifshuf if you're confident that you really have washed your hands properly, all the parts of the hand that have to be washed, so there's no problem that you're in the middle of the netila and you're touching water from one hand to the other. The Prima Gadim has a different reason. It's the purpose is to make sure you cover the spots that you didn't wash. And that's going to be, obviously, the way we're explaining, very difficult to understand. The Shabbat does not mention the Prima Gadim's approach at all. He says the purpose of Shifshuf is not Ma'akev B'di'evid, and many people don't do it. But the purpose of Shifshuf is really to make sure that the hands really are clean. And it is preferred a person should do that. Alpika Bolo is brought down that a person should do this process of Shifshuf as well. So a person, after they wash their hands, they should rub the hands together, raise their hands up, and make the bracha. But then we will read the actual language of the Chayodim in the following shir. Meanwhile, have a good day.